People very good, very kind to me. כל אותם food good and the kindness and everything good.
Two Russian citizens released on Wednesday were also counted on the 7th exchange list. Israel in return freed 30 Palestinian prisoners, including 7 women and 23 children. The initial 4-day truce went into effect on November 24th and has been extended twice. Since then, nearly 350 people from both sides have been released. The latest 1-day extension is due to expire at 0500 GMT on Friday. Efforts are underway to further prolong the truce agreement. An Israeli captive held in the Gaza Strip has held the regime's prime minister responsible for the killing of his family in indiscriminate airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. Yerdan Bibas asked Benjamin Netanyahu to at least allow the bodies of his wife and 2 children to return to the occupied territories for burial. Bibas made the plea in a video message released by the Al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Hamas resistance movement. He said it was Netanyahu who killed his family through brutal bombardment of Gaza. The Al-Qassam Brigades announced the death of Bibas's wife and 2 children on Wednesday. The brigades then offered to hand over their 3 bodies as part of a 7th batch of prison exchange with Israel. The regime, however, refused to receive them. Palestinian fighters in the occupied territories have conducted 2 retaliatory operations amid growing anti-Israeli sentiment in the region. A shooting operation involving 2 Palestinians at the entrance of Al-Quds left at least 4 Israelis dead and over a dozen injured. Both Palestinians were shot dead by the regime forces. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas claimed responsibility for the shooting. Hamas said the operation came as a natural response to the unprecedented crimes committed by Israel in Gaza and against prisoners in the regime jails. Meanwhile, the Islamic Jihad says the operation confirms that the options for resistance are, quote, open and multiple, and the enemy's obstacles will not protect his security. Elsewhere, in a car ramming operation in Jordan Valley, a Palestinian seriously injured 2 Israeli soldiers. The fighter was killed during the operation. Tensions are running high in the occupied territories since Israel launched its war on Gaza on the 7th of October. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandil, joined us earlier with more details on the retaliatory operations. Let's take a listen.
2 Palestinians arrived near the settlement in Al-Quds, carried out a shooting, killed 3 Israelis, including one rabbi, and wounded a number of Israelis. They first were speaking about a dozen of the Israelis had been wounded. Then they claimed that only 8 Israelis had been wounded. 2 of them are in serious condition. However, we are sure that they revealed that 3 Israelis had been killed. Then the second operation, and those 2 Palestinians who carried out the shooting were brothers from Sur Bahir inside Al-Quds, Palestinians with a Al-Quds ID and not from the occupied West Bank. They were members of the Hamas movement, as the Israelis had immediately revealed, and they were ex-Palestinian prisoners. Immediately, the Israeli forces raided Sur Bahir, arrested family members of those 2 martyrs. And then comes the second operation at a military checkpoint near Tobas. This Palestinian, before he was shot and killed by the Israeli forces, rammed his vehicle and wounded at least 2 Israeli soldiers. Other Israeli forces opened fire and killed him. So it's surprising for the Israelis at a time. Strict measures are being carried out across the occupied West Bank.
A new report by U.S. media has shed light on the extent of the country's huge military support for Israel's war machine over the past 7 decades. The report said the U.S. has provided Israel with more than 70,000 consignments of military equipment between 1950 and 2022. The consignments included aircraft, ground vehicles, missiles and bombs. The report said the U.S. has provided Israel with at least 16 types of weapons since the start of 2023 alone. However, the exact numbers and types of those weapons have not been made public. According to arms transfer experts, American weapons are being used extensively in the current Israeli war on the Gaza Strip. Israel is the largest recipient of U.S. foreign military assistance, with weapons accounting for the lion's share of that aid. The Pentagon announced in late October that it will not put limits on how Israeli occupation forces use U.S.-provided weaponry. Political commentator Shabir Rizvi says Israel not only deliberately targets vital infrastructure in Gaza, but also cuts off the internet to prevent Palestinians from communicating their dire situation to the world.
Let's talk about just very quickly before the war, right? You already had the majority of the water that was coming into the Gaza Strip. It was contaminated. The majority of it was contaminated. It was causing sickness. And then you had the Israeli occupation even limiting access to food and construction materials. Very specifically, their ministers called it putting Palestinians on a diet, and that's exactly what they called it. Now, as you said, it's a completely different equation, where the infrastructure was already terrible, but now it's been bombed, it's been bombarded, it's almost non-existent. And so you'll have this new demands raised, and also the international community will be watching now more than ever that this besieged strip, this besieged strip that has been just completely occupied under surveillance and just cut off from the rest of the world for years, is now under a humanitarian crisis. The World Health Organization even says that more Gazans are probably going to die from disease and lack of resources than they actually are from the bombs themselves, which is horrific. And it's worth mentioning that these infrastructure, they were specifically targeted. The water stations were targeted. Buildings that generated electricity were targeted from the very first week on. They cut off the electricity, and then now you also have the equation of how they get this information out to the rest of the world. If the Israeli occupation is able to cut off internet access at the flip of a switch, then what does that really say about the level of occupation they have over the Palestinian people? It says that not only are they capable of cutting off their water, their life-saving resources, but they're also willing to cut off the very methods of the Palestinians communicating their dire situation to the rest of the world.
Iran's foreign minister has praised the strong positions taken by Yemeni officials and people in support of Palestinians in the face of Israel's brutalities. Hossein Amir Abdullahian described Yemen's unwavering support for Palestinians in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank as admirable. Iran's top diplomat made the comments in a meeting with Yemen's ambassador to Tehran. Ibrahim Mohammed al-Deilami, for his part, defended his country's military operations against Israel in response to the regime's atrocities in Gaza. He reaffirmed that Yemen will continue to support Palestine as long as it's necessary. Deilami said targeting Israel's interests in the occupied territories and in the sea is in line with Yemen's strong belief in backing Gazans. Meanwhile, Yemen's armed forces have warned Israel against resuming its aggression on Gaza, saying they are ready to restart military operations against the regime. The Yemeni forces added in their statement that they won't hesitate to expand anti-Israel operations to include new targets on land or at sea. The country's forces stressed that they will continue to block the movement of Israeli ships in the Red Sea and will take all measures needed to ensure the full implementation of this decision. Yemen's armed forces added that their anti-Israel operations will stop as soon as the regime halts its aggression against Gaza. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq, for its part, issued a statement reaffirming its support for the people of Palestine. The movement declared its readiness to increase military operations against U.S. forces inside and outside Iraq if the Israeli aggression on Gaza does not stop. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has called for demonstrations worldwide on Friday, Saturday and Sunday in solidarity with Palestinians. In a statement, Hamas called on Arab and Islamic nations to continue rallies in support of the Palestinian cause. It also urged people around the globe to keep all forms of solidarity until the Israeli onslaught on Gaza ends. Demonstrations of that sort have been held in many countries since Israel ignited its bloody war machine in Gaza in early October. Thousands of South Africans marched through the streets of the biggest city, Johannesburg. They called for a permanent ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. In Moscow, Russians gathered in front of the Palestinian embassy to commemorate the International Solidarity Day with the Palestinians. In the French capital, a pro-Palestine demonstration turned violent after members of a Jewish student union clashed with the demonstrators in front of the Paris Institute of Political Studies. Pakistan's southern city of Karachi also witnessed a huge rally on Wednesday, bringing together people from diverse backgrounds in support of Palestinians. Similar pro-Palestine demonstrations were also held in Lebanon's capital, Beirut, and the Brazilian capital, Brasilia. Senior representatives of Hamas are in South Africa ahead of an international conference in solidarity with Palestine. They say global activism has played a major role in decimating the Israeli narrative. Hassan Syria reports from Cape Town.
Just as the Palestinian people on October the 7th made the world pay attention to their plight, the global civil society is playing a major role in realizing justice for Palestine. A senior Hamas delegation visiting South Africa has stressed that people's sincere voices and actions are making considerable changes in that regard. One of the key changes noted by Hamas is how the narrative about Palestine has changed this time. As part of the visit by the senior Hamas representatives, they will meet with civil organizations, activists, as well as officials here. While the South African Parliament has passed a resolution to sever ties with the Israeli regime, the government appears reluctant to implement that decision.
The Israeli narrative, it has been defeated a lot. The people, they start asking their own governments about what is happening, why you are supporting those criminals of war, the Israelis. And after 2 years today, we are witnessing the winning of the Palestinian narrative, and that is because of you. You have marched into the streets and told the international community what is the realities over there, and because of the innocent bloods which has been shed by those criminals inside Gaza.
South Africa also faces the challenge of its citizens who are part of the Israeli military force. Despite legislation banning that, the country is yet to prosecute any of these mercenaries. Hamas says governments need to take action. They say many countries have approached them to retrieve bodies of Israeli troops killed in Gaza.
A lot of countries around the world came to us asking about their people. I don't know why. Is someone is Israeli when he is killing Palestinian, he became suddenly a French or an Italian or a Russian. Suddenly they came, they are negotiating how to get our people. Why you are allowing your people to fight or to kill Palestinians? If they are your people, you have to stop them from participating in this terrorist organization, the so-called IDF.
While Hamas is committed to the current temporary ceasefires and exchange of prisoners, an end to violence will only be achieved through a comprehensive agreement which includes the Gaza Strip, the West Bank and Al-Quds.
We are talking about a political conflict, and this political conflict cannot be solved by military tools. They have attacked the Palestinians now for more than 100 years. And the Palestinians insisting on struggling, on raising their voices, they have to accept that we have ambitions, we have dreams of independence, of freedom and dignity.
The Israeli regime has threatened to expand its deadly bombing campaign to southern Gaza when the temporary truce ends. But the Palestinian resistance is determined to stand steadfast in the face of any such adventurism. Hassan Syriep, Cape Town.
The UN Security Council held a high-level meeting on Wednesday to discuss Israel's war on the Gaza Strip. Turkish Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan made a blistering attack on the Council for his failure to call for a permanent ceasefire in the besieged Palestinian territory. Rashan Saglam reports.
The Turkish Foreign Minister has criticized the UN Security Council for its inability to call for an effective ceasefire in the Gaza Strip with one voice. Speaking during a Security Council session, Hakan Fidan said Israel's attacks against Gaza amount to war crimes.
Israel's brutal attacks on Gaza and its population constitute war crimes. We urge all civilized nations to disassociate themselves from those crimes. In such dire times, we need strong global institutions to enforce international law and protect moral compass of humanity. Unfortunately, the Security Council, which entrusted by the UN Charter to do so, time and again failed to fulfill its responsibility to maintain international peace and security. It was unable to call for an effective ceasefire with one voice.
Experts have also warned that the UN Security Council may lose its credibility. On the sidelines of the UN Security Council's meeting, a statement was made by the ministerial committee assigned by the Joint Arab-Islamic Extraordinary Summit that was recently held in Saudi Arabia. The statement said a truce deal regarding Israel's war on Gaza is not enough. It called for establishing a lasting ceasefire. The double standards of the UN Security Council have always been criticized by Turkey. President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has said that the fate of the world should not be in the hands of a limited number of countries. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
That's it for this hour's bulletin. Thank you for being with us. Take care for now.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
The Israeli regime has released 30 more Palestinian prisoners as the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas has freed 12 captives in the fifth phase of a swap deal. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has freed 12 captives in exchange for 30 Palestinians released by the Israeli regime as part of the fifth phase of a swap deal between the two sides. The exchange went underway on Tuesday, 28th of November, the fifth day of the agreement that has been clinched between the two sides through Qatar and Egypt's mediation. The ceasefire agreement has also brought about a lull in the genocidal Israeli war on the Gaza Strip, which has killed more than 15,500 Palestinians across the coastal sliver. The Israeli regime began its war on the Gaza Strip on 7th of October, following an operation by the Palestinian Islamic Resistance groups which surprised the Israeli side. The captives released by the Palestinian Islamic Resistance movement Hamas on the fifth day comprised of 10 Israelis and 2 Thai nationals. So far, under the deal, Hamas has released a total of 81 captives, whilst the Israeli regime has freed 150 Palestinian prisoners. Friday marked the first day of the agreement, which had been initially brokered for 4 days. The Israeli regime and Hamas agreed to extend it for a further 2 days on Monday. Speaking on Tuesday, 28th of November, Khalil al-Hayya, a member of Hamas's political bureau, said he hoped the deal would be extended for a longer period of time. The Israeli regime, however, has vowed to resume its war with full force, claiming that it seeks to end Hamas's rule over Gaza. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has vowed that the Palestinian territory of Gaza would be only ruled by its own people once the war has ended. Meanwhile, Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdollahian has called on the International Criminal Court, the ICC, at The Hague, Netherlands, to set up a tribunal to prosecute Israeli authorities for war crimes committed in the Gaza Strip. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the appeal in a letter to the ICC chief prosecutor on Tuesday, 28th of November, emphasizing the need for the trial of Israeli officials. The top Iranian diplomat went on to say that the barbaric bombing campaign of Gaza and the ground invasion of Gaza by the Israeli regime are examples of war crimes and crimes against humanity. Hossein Amir Abdollahian further urged the International Criminal Court, the ICC, to adhere to its legal obligations and fulfill its duties over prosecuting the perpetrators of such crimes. The Iranian Foreign Minister, Hossein Amir Abdollahian, also noted the support of some countries for the Zionist regime is the cause of Tel Aviv's continued brutality and violence. Amir Abdollahian said, "Now is the time for the International Criminal Court to decide whether it wants to resist the pressure of some powers or allow the brutalities committed by the occupying Israeli regime to remain unpunished." Amir Abdollahian added, "This is a test for the International Criminal Court, the ICC, its judicial independence and impartiality." The Iranian Foreign Minister also stated that it is expected that the ICC avoids double standards and does not allow the perpetrators of such crimes to go unpunished. The Iranian Foreign Minister concluded by saying that Iran's Ministry of Foreign Affairs continues its diplomatic, international and legal activities in support of the oppressed Palestinians. The Israeli regime launched its devastating war on Gaza on 7th of October after the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas waged a surprise operation, Operation Al-Aqsa Storm, against the occupying regime. According to the Gaza-based health ministry, so far over 15,500 Palestinians have been killed in the Israeli airstrikes and ground offensive on Gaza, most of them women and children. Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story and tells us more. Majid al-Ansari, a spokesperson for Qatar's Ministry of Foreign Affairs, has said in a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, that 30 Palestinian prisoners have been set free by the Israeli regime. On Monday, mediator Qatar said in a humanitarian pause in fighting between Israel and Hamas would be extended by a further 2 days, just hours before the initial 4-day truce in Gaza was set to expire. Qatar, the United States and Egypt have engaged in intense negotiations to establish and prolong the truce in Gaza. Over the course of the initial pause in fighting, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas released 69 captives, 51 Israelis and 18 people from various nationalities. In exchange, 150 Palestinian prisoners, comprising of 117 children and 33 Palestinian women, held in Israeli prisons were released, and more humanitarian aid was allowed to enter the Gaza Strip. The talks between the United States and Israeli intelligence chiefs and Qatar were also attended by Egyptian officials. The heads of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, and Israel's Mossad Intelligence Service have met in Qatar to discuss the extension of a truce between the Israeli regime and the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, as well as captives being held by the Palestinian sides. CIA Director William Burns and David Barnea, the head of Mossad Intelligence Service, held talks with Qatar's Prime Minister, Sheikh Mohammed bin Abdul Rahman bin Jassim Al Thani, on Tuesday, 28th of November, just a day after Doha announced a two-day extension of the original four-day humanitarian pause in fighting in Gaza that had been due to expire. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas has accused the Israeli side of violating the original truce. However, both sides have continued to swap captives and prisoners. Meanwhile, the far-right Israeli Minister of National Security, Itamar Ben-Gvir, has called on Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to allow soldiers to return to fighting in Gaza to crush the Palestinian movement Hamas.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you. You are very special. And I'm so glad you're mine.
In your name rests an infinity of mercy and love, so in thy name I shall start. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear ladies. This is your program, Muslim Lady. I am Asma, and you're listening to IRB English Radio. Today in this studio, we have Sister Zainab with us to talk more about things that are just related to us as Muslim ladies. Assalamu alaikum, sister.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Thank you for being here. And thank you, dear ladies, for joining us in today's episode. Well, previously on Muslim Lady, we talked about backbiting, which is actually a flaw in our personality, and we have to work on it. We have to go for remedies. So we talked about the causes that might lead us into backbiting, which were just like spying and being the inspector who wants to know everything about every single person's life. And as human beings, we all know how not to go for them, but it needs too many practice. And then just as Sister Zainab was telling us more about backbiting, there was this simile, this imagery that you mentioned from the Holy Book of Quran. There was a verse that said, is there any one of you who would like to eat the flesh of his dead brother's body? This is a horrible imagery. I mean, even the image, just imagining that picture would, you know, make you feel so sad and so, like, depressed. So what is the reason? What are the themes and the motifs behind this imagery?
As we have been talking about backbiting, in particular to women, because as you previously said, we don't want to, Muslim ladies to be indulged in this evil act. A Quran in itself gives the reason and also the remedy to this evil act, to this kind of disease. In the same verse that you have mentioned from
Surah Al-Zariyat. Just for the record, just to make it clear, it's not just the Muslim ladies who could listen to this episode. I guess it's even good for Muslim men to go for it, because as we just mentioned previously, it is not just the women who are engaged in these sort of things like gossipings, because they have more of gatherings and personal sort of stuff together. So it could happen for all men and women. But since this program is dedicated to all the Muslim ladies from all around the world, we want to see them in a perfect picture. That's why we hint on some very sensitive topics.
Right. So you asked about why there's such a horrible comparison. Well, the verse in itself is giving the answer. First of all, the root cause of your backbiting mm-hmm. is suspecting.
Yeah.
Do not suspect. Number two, it's saying la tajassus, do not yeah. spy. So these are the two root causes that can actually lead you to backbiting or sometimes listening, as we said in the previous episodes. Like
yeah.
you sometimes listen in amazement. You don't say much, but you said, oh, I never knew that. Oh, really? Is that so? Like these kind of statements.
But it's very difficult to ignore it, you know?
It is. But right here, if we understand why there is such a horrible comparison,
mm-hmm.
nobody will actually like to go towards it. First of all Muslims are brothers and sisters together. That's why the word brother has come here, because it's like you're talking about any believer. Number two, why is it dead? Because that person is absent.
Yeah.
A dead person can't defend himself.
Exactly.
So the person who is absent, while you're talking about him, you're at ease because that person is not present in front mm-hmm. of you. And you know that person is unavailable to defend himself or herself.
Yeah.
So when they are absent, you are at ease talking anything and you
yeah.
go free and you never know how long you go ahead. And this is one reason why is it compared with the dead? Because that person is absent and unable to defend. Because a dead person is also unable to defend himself.
Exactly.
Number one. Number two, when a flesh of a dead is eaten, who does so? The wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that this kind of character, this kind of virtue is those of the wild. It's not of the humans.
Predators.
Yeah. So don't be predators. Be humans.
Exactly.
I have created you as humans. Be humans. Act like humans.
So human beings, act just as your nature. Let's go for a short break and then we'll be back to see the rest of the story. Yeah, backbiting is a sad thing that we all are engaged in, and we know that this flaw exists in our personality and it might happen too much on a daily basis, but we have to work on it. And I guess everything would be pretty much easier when you go for practicing. So, yeah, welcome back. This is Muslim Lady. We're talking about backbiting. And we want to know more how a Muslim lady can refrain herself from getting into backbiting.
Yeah, so we're talking about the horrible comparison, the weird kind of comparison Quran is making in Surah Hajarat of backbiters with those eating the flesh of the dead. So we said that eating the flesh of the dead is a quality of wild, and we have to act human, we don't have to act wild. Number two, just imagine if a flesh from a dead body is eaten, can the body regenerate skin again? Can the body develop the cells again? Can the skin be regenerated again? No, because the dead is dead. In the same way, when you backbite about a living person, that person, since absent, is unable to defend himself, you can't get back that reputation again. You humiliated his reputation.
So the whole story lays behind the reputation and the dignity of another Muslim person.
Exactly. And because that Number two, flush gives beauty to the skeleton.
Yeah.
Just imagine when a flush from a body is taken away, it remains a skeleton.
Yeah.
So you're taking away the beauty of another person.
So
that's again the repetition.
You actually are destroying the picture of another person in front of other people.
Yeah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive this, because Prophet, peace be upon him, says that it's the worst sin than as if someone committed adultery, zina. Why? Because if someone committed adultery, he can go for forgiveness, ask for forgiveness, can repent, and maybe Allah will forgive that person. But Allah will not forgive a backbiter until the victim forgives that person. Now you never know. Sometimes you carry on backbiting about people.
Yeah.
And you never know. You were sitting in the gathering of ladies. Who did I talk about, really?
Mm-hmm.
Where do I find that person again? Will I ever see that person again or not?
Well, sister, actually, the situation gets worse when it becomes a habit of yours.
Exactly. So no human being likes that his book of deeds would be empty of all the good deeds he did. Why we do that? It's because of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
Why we do that is because of unawareness. And when we will be aware that our good deeds, when we talk about someone, will be transferred into the book of deeds of other person, and on that day when we will be, our book of deeds will be given to us, and we'll say, oh Allah, it's empty, I have
done too many of goodness, where are them?
I know I helped an orphan, I know I went to Hajj, I know I went to Ziyarah, I know I did so many good things, but this is all,
it has been exchanged, because you have talked behind somebody's back.
Exactly, and if that will not happen, now we will say Allah is Rahman, Allah is Rahim, but at the same time, He is just.
Yeah,
He is fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I will be transferring your good deeds into the book of deeds of others. So we have to be refraining from it.
Exactly.
And even we can remind ourselves of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who says that, like a disease, for example, a deadly disease, for example, just take an example of cancer.
Yeah,
it consumes a particular organ and destroys it. Imam Sadiq al-Islam, reporting from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified family, says that backbiting is swifter than that. It is like this disease that consumes the faith of a human being and destroys it.
Yeah, and it would actually slander all the soul of that person. So let's go for a short break, and then after that, we'd come with the last part of today's episode. Thank you for staying with us.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Yes, you're listening to Muslim Lady, and we're talking about backbiting. Nobody likes to eat the flesh of their fellow's dead body. So we should consider this fact too much. Whenever we're talking, just imagine the situation when we are with our close friends and we think like, okay, I'm not doing anything horrible, but then unfortunately and unconsciously, I'm doing that. I'm eating the flesh of another person's body without even being aware of it. So the problem, as we just talked about, is the right of another person and also their reputation and their dignity, which is so important and valuable to God. So we should respect every single human beings in their absence and in their presence. So is there anything remaining?
Exactly. So, you know, eating the flesh of the dead, how is it for humans? It contains bacteria, it contains microbes. That means it is the worst form of ethics to backbite about someone. And if you do that, eating dead flesh will make a person definitely ill. That means if you backbite, it in itself contains so many microbes.
Yeah.
That is the worst form of other akhlaq, the worst form of other ethics. If you backbite, you will start lying, you will start spying, you will start suspecting mm-hmm. others, you will start doing all those things which we have been.
And you would think that, okay, all the sins, you would belittle all the sins in your eyes. You would think that, okay, I'm not doing much of a thing, it's not a sin.
Or I'm actually talking about someone, he really is like that, or she really is like that. But that is what is called ghibah, that's what's called backbiting. Otherwise, if that quality is not in that person, you're actually slandering them, you're actually defaming them. And we should remember that Prophet, peace be upon him and his purified family, said that no fire is faster in consuming dry wood than backbiting is in consuming devotees' virtues.
Yeah.
So we must remember our all good virtues can get consumed away, can get mm-hmm. you know, taken away, transferred
exactly.
to the book of deeds of others.
Yeah.
We should be careful about it.
So
the more we take care about these things, the more we are aware, as Imam Ali Alisam also said, think before you speak.
Exactly. Because once the word is uttered, it's out of the prison of your mouth.
Consider,
and you cannot control it.
Consider the 32 teeth that Allah has given you as the 32 watchmen.
Yeah.
Before you speak.
Exactly. Thank you, sister. And thank you to our listeners very much. So we should be careful about every single act we do. And that's it. This was all for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Until another session. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Who is the Lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله محمد is the messenger Allah is our return.
The Quran given by God to Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him and his family more than 1400 years ago as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, so Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/parstodayen. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/parstodayenglish.
In the Limelight.
Another war or military entanglement in the West Asia region will not only complicate America's geopolitical calculus, but could undermine its stranglehold on the region and beyond. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Middle East Eye wrote, since its inception, one of the Zionist regime's major imperatives as an aggressive and expansionist state has been to secure the support and patronage of a strong international power. Britain initially played this role with the Balfour Declaration in 1917 and during its mandate over Palestine. It empowered and facilitated significant numbers of European Jewish communities to invade and settle in Palestine, take over Palestinian lands militarily, and expel most of the indigenous Arab population from their villages, towns, and cities in 1948. Over the next two decades, the Zionist regime relied primarily on Western countries such as Britain, France, Germany, and the United States for arms, funds, and political support. This backing included the 1956 tripartite invasion of Egypt with Britain and France, German reparations, and U.S. weapons and political protection. During the last half century, the relationship between the U.S. and the Zionist regime evolved from Washington being Tel Aviv's enabler and protector to being a strategic partner. The U.S. has become the principal provider of the most advanced military equipment and economic aid and has given the Zionist regime a steady political cover, including 46 vetoes in the United Nations Security Council since 1973. Every president since Richard Nixon, 10 of them, cast vetoes during their tenure. The Zionist regime has received more than $260 billion from the U.S. since 1971, in addition to many more billions given by private institutions and Israeli bonds. Since October 7, Palestinian resistance attack against the Zionist regime's military bases and settlements, the U.S. has repeatedly endorsed Israel's brutal attacks on Gaza, which has resulted in thousands of civilian victims at a rate of 150 children killed per day and total destruction of Gaza's infrastructure. More than 8,300 Palestinians have been killed and 22,000 injured so far, and more than 2,000 have gone missing. More than two-thirds have been children, women, and the elderly. During this mayhem and genocidal war, the U.S. regime has continued to lend its blind support to the fabricated regime of Israel, arguing that it has the right to defend itself, with no regard for international humanitarian laws and conventions. In addition, American media outlets and politicians, including President Joe Biden, have peddled Israeli lies without any evidence, like the debunked stories of decapitated babies, rapes, and the attempted extermination of the Zionist Jews. After the Zionist regime's bombing of the Baptist Hospital in Gaza, which killed 471 people, they repeated the well-worn Israeli lie of blaming Palestinians, despite the overwhelming evidence showing the Zionist regime's culpability. For three decades, the U.S. regime has presented itself as an honest broker trying to reach political settlement in this conflict based on the so-called two-state solution. Yet, its incontestable among observers and analysts that throughout this entire period, the U.S. has fully backed Israeli regime policies to dispossess the Palestinians and deny them their legitimate rights or even the minimum required for a political settlement. In the response to recent events, the U.S. and its European allies have deliberately ignored the context in which the attacks took place. In 2023, Netanyahu's extremist partners Itamar Ben-Gvir and Bezalel Smotrich were empowered to carry out their plans in the West Bank. Smotrich, who infamously declared that Palestinians don't exist, has already expedited Israeli settlement construction, seeking to double the settler population in the occupied territories to 1 million people. Extremist and Zionist settlers further accelerated the raids and invasion of Al-Aqsa Mosque compound this year, threatening to impose tighter entry restrictions on Palestinians. In the 3 weeks prior to October 7, Zionist regime incursion into Al-Aqsa became an almost daily event, punctuated by aggressive behavior and insults. In the first 9 months of this year, the Ben-Gvir-led security forces in the West Bank targeted Palestinian activists for assassination. They stormed the refugee camps and villages, killing almost 200 Palestinians, including 27 children. Meanwhile, more than 5,500 Palestinian prisoners are being held under harsh conditions in the Zionist regime's jails. This year, the extremist government took away the few rights the prisoners gained over decades of a struggle. Among these prisoners are 1,860 people currently held in arbitrary detention without charges. Since October 7, well over 1,000 Palestinians have been arrested across the West Bank, in addition to the more than 100 killed. Compounding these long-standing injustices is the suffocating siege imposed on Gaza over the last 16 years without any relief in sight. While it was ignoring all of these provocations, the U.S. regime continued to pay lip service to supporting a vague two-state solution. Against this backdrop, Palestinian resistance groups saw no other option but to launch their 7th October operation. Their stated goals were to force an end to the desecration of Al-Aqsa Mosque, stop Israeli regime military incursions into the West Bank towns and cities that have killed hundreds, drive a prisoner exchange, lift the siege on Gaza, and send a strong message to the world that there would be no peace or normalization at the expense of Palestinian rights. Palestinian surprise attack shattered the myth of invincibility of the Israeli regime army and the superiority of its intelligence services. It shook the Zionist regime's political and military class to its core and fractured its society. In their unrelenting support, Western leaders have been trying to boost Israeli sagging morale. During the last 2 weeks, they provided the Zionist regime with a seemingly unlimited supply of weapons to pursue its ruthless war on Gaza. They enabled its policy of collective punishment of Palestinians, half of whom are children. Within days, the U.S. administration submitted a request to Congress for $14.3 billion in aid to improve the Zionist regime's slumping economy. It also dispatched naval ships, aircraft carriers, and advanced weapon systems, and even arms and troops to Jordan. Biden himself flew to Tel Aviv to personally declare his enthusiastic support and even accidentally posted on Instagram a photo of himself shaking hands with members of the U.S. Delta Force deployed there. The U.S. regime has since expressed its shared goal with the Zionist regime to eliminate the military capabilities of Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and other resistance movements in Gaza. It has callously defended collective punishment by seeking to inflict tremendous violence on Palestinians to turn them against Hamas and permanently end the group's rule in Gaza. However, the U.S. knows too well that such grand objectives entail great risks and peril. Its experiences and losses in Vietnam, Somalia, Afghanistan, and Iraq are just a few examples of the dangers of allowing a full-scale ground invasion against an indigenous resistance. If the U.S. directly joins the Zionist regime in its war against the Palestinians or their allies, it would be very difficult to contain a wider regional war that could spread to other countries and ultimately undermine U.S. interest. The Zionist regime's horrific bombing of Gaza has infuriated millions worldwide, particularly in the Arab and Islamic world, threatening a global backlash against Western countries, especially the United States. The U.S. full backing of Israel's genocidal war and ethnic cleansing of Gaza could be the final blow to the American-led global order. Its resources are spread thin, and U.S. politicians may no longer continue providing a blank check to Ukraine to fight its war with Russia. Yet, another blatant display of American hypocrisy and double standards, or invest in containing China's rise in East and Southeast Asia, a real peer competitor to U.S. global power around the world.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
The Hamas resistance movement releases more Israeli captives in return for 30 Palestinian prisoners in the seventh phase of a swap deal with the regime. An Israeli captive in the Gaza Strip holds the regime's prime minister responsible for killing his family in an indiscriminate airstrikes on the Palestinian territory. And a new report by the American media says the United States has provided Israel with more than 70,000 weapons consignments since 1950. Thank you for joining us. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has released more captives under a swap deal, which is part of a truce agreement with Israel. Eight captives consisting of two minors and six women, including Jews.